current president's couch and the former president's party's new constitution are trending topics. We talk about those and other newsworthy events of the past week with Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, here with Biz News on the Sunday show. Welcome, Neil.
Yeah, Chris, good morning to all our favorite customers, listeners, and spectators on a Sunday to Biz News. And yeah, a lot to talk about. And sadly, some bad news that we got today about a stalwart who has passed, Mr. Tito Mboweni.
Yes, tell me about your recollections of him, please, Neil.
Yeah, I had the pleasure, Chris, I say pleasure because it was a pleasure to meet him actually on two occasions. You know, he was a first choice of Labour minister in the Mandela era, Mr. Tito Mboweni. Comes from Tzaneen, so up north. Then replaced, as I could recall, Mr. Christos as Reserve Bank governor in 1999. And that's where I met him in that era. Larger than life, always a smile and a chirp from Mr. Tito Mboweni. A very intelligent man, a person that I found that could handle a room, was very eloquent, but calm in his demeanor. And I think when he took over at that point, when we really needed stability in that decade, he was the right man to drive the Reserve Bank for a decade indeed. And we will remember him always being forthright, chirpy, intelligent, but I think his calmness brought calmness to the economy of our country, and then recalled back to politics to serve as Minister of Finance, I think in the 2018s under Cyril. And I must tell you, from my perspective, as the Minister of Finance, he always used to bring this nuance of subtlety yet colourfulness. When he used to do the annual budget speech, and we always waited for him, you know, he had that plant he used to bring and put it on the podium. And yeah, I think on a serious ministry, a ministry that is the foundation of this country, Tito Mboweni just brought a bit of panache, flair, and a bit of great execution. But he was also known as the vehement cook, a culinary expert. And who will forget his continual postings on Twitter, now X, about his cooking and food escapades. So all in all, a loss to this country, another tree fallen. But what the surprising, Chris, is gone too soon, 65 years old. We understand short and brief illness, but rest in peace, Tito Titus Mboweni.
Thank you, Neil. Now, I've been wondering, are you stuffing your couch with dollars? Because it seems to be okay now.
The only stuffing I have in my couch at this moment is foam. Shocker. Absolute shocker. Now, Chris, let me put this into perspective. There's a lot of stuff coming up when you say the word pala, pala. Dit is soos 'n verdrinkende suurpaal in die water. This is a blatant, so obvious, use and abuse of power. That's it. Now, the dogs are going to come out on this, and may I say, the first howling dog out of the fence is me. So let's set the tone for the rest of the couple of days. In the prosecution, because remember, this started 2020, this whole saga, and then the reporting of the ex-state security leader who turns around and says that there was pala-pala, and in actual fact, there was a theft of those pala-pala dollars, and that was the whole scenario. Oh my goodness, it then hits the public. And Cyril is the focus. This is Cyril's property. This is Cyril's couch. And this was Cyril's people. So the pala-pala in a normal constitutional democracy, Chris, would immediately bring the impeachment of a president. Because when one looks at the charges, we are not only contravening SA Revenue Service. We are not just only crossing the Foreign Exchange Service. We're not just crossing the matter of a president who acknowledged, which is against the presidential handbook, that he was doing business. And all of that undeclared. Now, you don't need a formidable charge sheet. You also don't need to be a legal expert. This is bloody common sense. He's wrong. Now, take all of that. No matter where you stand in politics, if you are pro him or anti him, Cyril Ramaphosa is accused, number one. Same words he used at the Zondo Commission about the ANC. Now, we get this headline just a couple of weeks ago that the people that are charged with the theft of said count dollars are going to be prosecuted and they are going to appear in court, and we are then going to get chunk bites of the truth, so help me God. And then suddenly, in this period, we had the pre-GNU accusation from every political party that says that he must go to court, he must be charged. GNU happens. Silence. Silence. And then this week's declaration, Chris, that the National Prosecuting Authority of the Republic of South Africa decides that they do not see the possibility of success in the prosecution of Bala Bala.
Despite the evidence.
Overhanging evidence. Case closed. And then what does the GNU start to say? You know, the GNU parties, they are upset. This is very weird. And certain parties are saying that they will go into the parliamentary portfolio committees and ask questions. What a lot of rubbish. Lead by example. Lead by example. I'll refresh the memory of the people of this country that at the stage, if you can recall, Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela, as a sitting president, I recall, was actually brought to court and charged by SA Rugby, the old lion, Louis Lake, actually took Nelson Mandela to court. And I clearly remember in that era, because I was in that era, that Nelson Mandela was told by the members of the ANC to tell Louis Lake to go to hell, and that how dare he take Nelson Mandela to court. And Nelson Mandela said, Cyril, where are you? Mr. Ramaphosa, hear this. Nelson Mandela said that if I, as the president, do not heed the justice system and go to court, then what would that set an example to the rest of the citizens of this country? What a time, what an extraordinary man. And now, I'm telling you, the current leadership is not following that example. This case should not be closed. This should now go to private prosecution. Now the other people like AfriForums and Solidaritate and Citizenry for Honor, OTA, we now need them to get up and say, you the politicians, all of you are now silent. This thing should not go to bed, because if a president can, then what the hell about the rest of us? And that is my opinion, Chris. Common sense. Cyril is now being protected on such a blatant manner that the National Prosecuting Authority has now decided that they are visionaries and that they are prophets to say that this cannot be prosecuted and it won't have success.
Well, Neil, let's go to a former president whose MKP party, Mr. Jacob Zuma's MKP party, has launched its constitution. What stands out for you in that constitution, Neil? What's the most interesting?
Well, what stands out is now, I can tell you, it's got Schlope all over it. You can see that the constitution that has been now sporadically launched by the ex-EFF member, Mr. Floyd Shivambu, interesting they chose him as national coordinator to launch this constitution of the MK Party, and within it smacks three things. There is a clear understanding that they now want to calm the seas. They want MK to settle down. In that, they acknowledge that they are a new party, but that they need to now bring in, and here's the thing, kind of ANC principle disciplinary values. So in other words, they are saying there's a huge focus now on national discipline. That's what they say. Two, the policies that they are bringing out and the frameworks within that constitution that I saw smack directly to the guidelines of RET. Radical economic transformation. And on the third side, the wording, not blatantly put there, but the principles of sheer blatant nationalism. Nationalism of state-owned, state-governed, and no doubt everything hedging on the transformation aspect. Those are the three keys. It smacks, therefore, of what we always thought. The re-garnishing, the repackaging of the ultra-left, the alterable national-socialistic, and may I say, some communistic principles. And there you have it. What we thought has now been put in written word.
Meanwhile, despite very vocal threats from the Democratic Alliance, their mayor in Tshwane, Sylvia Brink, was not able to return to the mayoral seat last week, Neil. Have you spoken to him?
No. And can I tell you why? Chris, I'm not on your show because I'm a subtle human being. I have been given a platform and about 80,000 people a week at least say thank you. So here it comes. Can I be straightforward and blatant? Ek is nou sincere gatvol van hulle almal. I, citizen X Neil, am now gatvol of Herman Mashaba's waffling. I am now gatvol of the other side's defense and critique. I am gatvol of another group's blatant lying. I am now tremendously gatvol of all of them. Klaar. So, here's my absolute blatant statement. You have now all subsequently murdered each other. You have now all thrown each other under the bus. You have now had your opportunities to state your case and to say how terrible each one's mother-in-law is. Thank you. Klaar. Now, stop this, get it done, and get to work. I'm off for you. Because now, I just landed last night, 9 o'clock, from Tshwane, driving from Tshwane to Joburg. Chris, what a shambles. What a shock. What sadness to see the state of the roads, the infrastructure, the dereliction, 29 traffic lights not working and 32 not even having a traffic light on the pole, craters in the road, and a total dysfunctional Joburg-Tshwane. Not politics. I drove through it, I saw it. So, let's now stop this. Chris, I hope we have given them enough airtime. Well, people say, stop giving Niels a bit of airtime. Marcus, he. I'm telling you now, we should stop now. And I want to now challenge them. You have 100 days. And in 100 days, I would like to then interview you and say, what have you done? Now that you've got what you want, what have you done? And Chris, we, as the commentators, must now put the spotlight no more on the blame game, not on he said, she said, but on the actions and on what they got right. I am saying, that's what the citizens now should be focused on.
Neil, let's talk about the GNU, the Government of National Unity, and the role of essentially opposition parties as ministers in that government. You have thoughts on that? We're seeing that dynamic playing out in tricky ways.
Chris, I think it's a failure. Again, let me remove myself from politics. You know, everything that a person these days puts on the table, if it's about the lawn is too long, it's racist. If it's about the current leader, it's racist. If it's about this, no, it's liberal. Wake up. It's common sense. What is this? You know, you don't have to always look for the third shooter that killed JFK, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about reality. The reality, and I'm observing it, and I'm not alone in this opinion, is currently we have leaders of a multitude of political parties that have joined the government of national unity. I will highlight Mr. Stabisa, Mr. Pieter Groenewald, doctor, and also let's call it John Steele. Just that. And you can throw Gayton McKenzie into it as well. So let's focus on the Patriotic Alliance, the Democratic Alliance, the Freedom Front Plus, and the IFP. Chris, seemingly, and it's starting to break into the channels, you could see it coming more and more on the opinion pieces, that the ministers of Agriculture, Home Affairs, Constitutional Affairs, and currently Correctional Services, no doubt are doing brilliantly as the minister. I mean, you can't hide it, but there are other ministers as well, Mr. Mchunu of Police, that are starting to make high line of what they're doing, the Minister of Electricity, etc. But I don't want to focus on them. I want to focus on the opposition parties pre-GNU. Now, Chris, undoubtedly, since they took position as cabinet ministers, they have been fighting now, obviously, to make sure that people see that as a minister, they're doing absolutely well. But Chris, there can be no doubt that the strength they had as party political leaders in this country has taken absolutely the second class seat on the bus. There's no doubt about it. So when you now weigh it up, the question I posed last week in a written article was, is the fact that they serve in a cabinet under a president stifling their opinion as a ex-party opposition leader? And Chris, I can tell you, it's clear. They are no longer vehemently fiery opposition as a leader of the DA or the leader as the Freedom Front in their manifestos, their party politics, and the differences between the DA and the ANC, Freedom Front, etc. I can tell you there's a problem, Chris. It is a problem. Now, I'll tell you, it will be a problem. Because if you just took up a seat in cabinet and you're a minister, you serve at the behest of a president. I know that. I've been in those surroundings. You don't and cannot just be outspoken when you're a minister. But are they getting the balance right between being a serving cabinet minister, ensuring that there is the positiveness of the GNU, but also being an effective opposition? Now, my opinion, Chris, John Steenhuisen, Dr. Groenewald are doing great. They're finding their way. They're keeping it together. But I would say that at some or other time, John Steenhuisen should stand back and maybe be replaced by a certain individual coming from that party, and that John should go back in the absolute leadership role of the DA so that they can make sure that 2026, there's not an implosion of opposition, but that there's a strong leadership at least still facing. I want to watch this space. I'm putting it out there. I would love to have comment. But you can clearly see there is a disparity on which king you serve the most.
Right. Well, now, lastly, former Judge John Klope, having done the work on the Constitution for MKP, has decided to voluntarily leave the Judicial Services Commission.
Yeah, I would love to say it was that. I would love to say. Best news, Christine and Neil Lebe put a cherry on the cake for those of them. But plain and simply, our one day of publishing wasn't hot enough. It wasn't fresh off the publication where we said he must go, that it was an absolute differentiation between his competency and being ethical. And I think at the end of the day, his withdrawal from the JSC was because I think the voices start getting too much internally to say, let's rather stately withdraw, leave that battle, and focus on something else. So I say it clearly, this was the win, no matter how it happened, for justice, and I am glad that we understood and got to that scenario. We are currently, I think still, in a democracy where you and I, and the thousands of people that listen to us, still could maybe be comfortable that our voice and the voices of reason, if shouted loud enough, maybe could be heard.
Neil, now some viewers have reminded me that for a couple of weeks we haven't had a hero of the week and we haven't had a flop of the week. And I think we should just explain to them that it's not always so easy to find heroes. It's easier to find villains. So we will do that on an ad hoc basis, won't we? We don't want to force people. We don't want to force a crown on somebody's head when it's not wholly deserved, do we?
You know, it's that absolute unbelievable moment where you got a great idea. The other day I decided I'm going to make my first omelette. I did cracking of the eggs. Halfway through it, I saw it a flop and I turned to scrambled eggs. So great idea, but the implementation sucked. So I will humbly withdraw. Let us put that on ice. But it doesn't stop our great supporters, our great viewers, to post every week on the numerous comments that we get on maybe their suggestions of flop and hero. But we'll leave it to them. I think you and I focus on the expose and the opinion pieces. I think we're good at that.
Thank you. That was Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday show with Biz News. And I am Chris Steyn. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Chris, and God bless South Africa.